who lead them to you. We're thankful for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Speak to us from the Bible today, from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Mineola Messenger printed an article entitled, Children and Their Changing Attitude Toward Their Parents. The ways that our attitude changes through a lifetime. At age 4, a child would say, my parents can do anything. At age 8, there might be one or two things they don't know. At age 12, naturally, my parents don't understand. At age 14, I never realized how hopelessly old-fashioned they are. Age 21, you would expect them to feel that way. They are out of date. Age 25, they come up with a good idea now and then. Age 30, I wonder what mom and dad think I should do. Age 40, let's be patient until we discuss it with our parents. Age 50, what would mom and dad have thought about it? And age 60, I wish I could talk it over with them one more time. Now, God in creation ordained children to be raised by a mother and a father. But throughout history, we have distorted God's plan. We have marred God's plan by our sin. And to help us bring the family relationship into God's order, today we're going to look at some lessons from Ephesians chapter 6 for loving our parents. Now, children, it's instructed right there in verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. So why, kids, obey your parents? Because God said to obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. That means I am going to obey my parents because God told me to. And so I'm going to obey God and obey my parents. Now here are some scriptures from Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. The pediatrician that our kids grew up with always told our boys, listen to your mother. Be sure to listen to your mother. And so, kids that are here today, I'm going to give you that same instruction. Listen to your mother. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. I heard of a mother who had 3 kids, and they just could not be good. She was at her wit's end one day. Why can't you just be good? Her birthday came, and one of her kids said, Mom, what would you like for your birthday? She said, I'd like 3 well-behaving kids. And one of them thought about it and said, great, then there'd be 6 of us. Why obey your parents? Because God commanded us to obey. God commanded you, children, to obey your parents. Colossians 3:20. Children. Anybody in here, children? I guess we see a few children in here. All ages of children. Be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Be obedient to your parents in all things. And the Bible is true. And God speaks to us through the Bible. Some years ago, Irma Bombeck printed a piece about having the meanest parents in the world. Anybody in here think they had, growing up, the meanest parents in the world? Irma Bombeck, she thought she had the meanest. I had the meanest parents in all the world. When I was 7 years old, they dared to spank me just because I told them I would not do what they asked me to do, help around the house. My friend next door never got spanked. He didn't have to help at home. He had nice parents. I had the meanest parents. I had to eat all of my broccoli and carrots before they would ever let me have dessert. My friend next door never had to eat vegetables. He had fast food brought in with burgers and shakes and brownies with all kinds of ice cream. I had the meanest parents. They made me go to church every Sunday as long as I lived under their roof, sit there in that boring worship service. My friend next door could do as he pleased. He never went to church. Sunday was a fun day for him. I had the meanest parents. They made me work for my allowance. I had to get a job helping an elderly old man with chores around his house. My friend next door never had to do anything, and he was given four times as much allowance as I could ever earn. He had nice parents. I had the meanest parents. When I turned 16, they made me earn points before I could drive the family car. My friend next door was given a brand new luxury automobile. My folks had bought an old jalopy for me to get back and forth to school. But you think I'd drive that hunk of junk and park it beside those Jeep Wagoneers, BMWs, Buicks, and Mercedes? My friend had it made. As for my friend, or so I once thought, he had it made. But when we reached age 30, I had a change in perspective. I had learned that my parents were not so mean after all. I was experiencing the pleasure of work, the reward of recreation, the strength of a healthy body, the bonds of a strong marriage, the inward confidence that comes from faith, and the wonderful supportive fellowship that comes from the church as a community of believers. As for my friend, things were not going so well. He was not finding his niche in the workplace. Nothing seemed to satisfy him. He was having difficulty getting along with people who were not willing to do everything just as he thought he knew it ought to be done. His marriage had not lasted even 2 years. His body was getting out of shape, and he evidenced a cynical outlook without any undergirding that comes from the assurance of faith. Irma came to understand that obedience to her parents' ways instilled in her lasting, life-giving values. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. It makes sense. Not only this, honor your father and mother. Now, to honor is to place value upon. Place value upon your mother and father, especially if you had mean parents that made you do this and made you do that and gave you boundaries. It's not enough just to do what your parents say, but value and respect them. Now, Paul quotes from Exodus 20:12, one of the commandments. And he says, this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. And the promise is twofold. First aspect of the promise is that it may be well with you. And second aspect of the promise is that you may live on the earth. So if you obey your parents, it will go well for you. And you'll live on the earth. Now, parents don't say this anymore, but I know they used to say, I brought you into this world. But that's not what this is talking about here. That if you obey your parents, life will go so much easier. Parents are so smart. Parents with experience have learned so much. They are so wise. When parents say, don't play in the street, it's for good reason. When parents say, don't jump off that wall, it's for good reason. When parents say, don't stick that in that wall socket, it's for good reason. When parents say, don't text and drive, it's for good reason. Run away from drugs and alcohol, it's for good reason. I don't care what the other kids are doing. You be home by such and such a time, and your parents are so smart. Now, we should honor our mother and father, and Gary Smalley and John Trent, they asked parents, what could my children do to honor me? That's the question parents were to ask, to answer. What could my children do to honor me? And this is what the parents came up with, some examples. On a day other than Mother or Father's Day, it would mean so much to get a card or letter from our children letting us know they are thinking of us. The greatest present I ever received from my son was a recording of him thanking me for several specific things I had done for him in the past. Even though it's difficult for me to do, my daughter always makes a point of hugging me when we get together. As a single mom, when my children do chores without being asked, or even additional chores, I feel honored. It honors me to see my children reaching out to help others who have been less fortunate than they. I feel flattered and honored when my daughter asks my advice on struggles and needs in her life. We know our children are praying for us every day, and that honors us. When I see my daughter seeking after God, I can't think of anything that brings me more honor. Watching the way my son treats his wife and children and hearing him say he learned it from us is something that is more valuable than any present he could give me. Honoring your parents is an attitude accompanied by actions that says to your parents, you have worth to me, you have value, I am thankful for you. I am thankful that God gave you to be my parents. Now, children, listen up for a second. If you're a student in here and your mom brought you to church or your dad brought you to church, then you tell them, you are the smartest mom in all the world. You are the smartest dad in all the world. Thank you for bringing me to church. Because this Bible is truth. God is real. And your friends and some of the schools and when you go to college, some of the teachers and professors, they're going to tell you that the Bible is not true. That this is fairy tale. They're going to tell you that God is not real. But the evidence, if you go looking for it, is everywhere that God is real, the Bible is true, that Jesus walked on the earth, that He raised from the dead. So you tell your parents, you are the smartest parents in all the world. You're the smartest mom in all the world. You're the smartest dad in all the world. And if you're here today as a student and your mom didn't bring you or your dad didn't bring you, the next Sunday, you tell your mom or your dad, will you take me to church? And the next Sunday after that, if they won't bring you, you ask them again, Mom, Dad, will you take me to church? And the next week after that, will you take me to church? And when you're 60 years old and your parents aren't going to church, then you say, Mom, Dad, can I come and pick you up and take you to church with me? Don't ever give up. Never give up. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, practicing what you believe has great benefits. It makes sense to obey God's word. This is just one instruction of many. That it makes sense. Listen to this. David Larson, in his research, noticed a surprising pattern. The published data showed that religion, far from causing harm, actually help protect against both mental and physical disease. For example, studies have shown that older adults who frequently attend religious services may have healthier immune systems. Heart patients with strong religious beliefs are much more likely to survive surgery. Church-going folks also have lower blood pressure, even when risky behavior like smoking is factored in. Most dramatic of all, the simple act of attending church each week is linked with reducing risk of earlier death by about 25%. So you don't need to spend all that money on oil of delay and all the other products. Just go to church and you'll live longer. 25% longer, the studies have showed. Dr. Larson's data affirms the truth of the Bible, that God somehow honors people who from an early practice obey the word and do what it says. Denny was a football player. He was a big, strong high school football player. And after one football practice, he was exhausted. He was spent. He was sore from head to toe. And he was on edge because he was so tired and worn out. And he went home and he walked up the graffiti-laden steps up to the old apartment that they were living in. And as he approached the door, he could hear the screams of his mother as his father was in another drunken rage and for years had abused his mother. And he had it. He went into that apartment. He grabbed his father. And with all the adrenaline that was flowing from him and the strength that he had gained in football, he punched his dad twice. And he picked up his father and he threw him out a second floor window. Fortunately, his injuries were minor. And it devastated him as much as it devastated his father. And because of that night that he carried with him, he carried it through two broken marriages. He carried it for 6 years through a broken life. And he turned and became overcame by that which he swore he would never let overtake him. And that was the alcoholism that took over the life of his father. And after 6 years of one of his old high school buddies of inviting him to church, he finally said, "Okay, I'll go to church with you." And there he found love and grace and forgiveness and Jesus. And he surrendered his life to Jesus. And there he made a change in his life. And there he met a wonderful young widow who became his wife and had a wonderful marriage with her. And after some time, because of the forgiveness and grace he had received and the teaching he had received from the Scriptures, he called his father because he wanted to honor his father. Because of the forgiveness he received, he knew he needed to honor his father regardless of what his father had done. Because out of obedience to God, he was going to unconditionally honor his father. And he called his father three times. "Dad, I love you." Click on the other line, other end. "Father, Dad, I love you." Click by his father on the other end. Third time, "Dad, I love you." Click. The fourth time, "Dad, I love you." There was no click. There was silence as he listened. And he began to tell his dad about the grace he had received, the forgiveness he had received, the new life he had found in Jesus. And he said, I forgive you, Dad. I want to honor you." Not long after that, he received a call from his mother and said, "You need to come. Your dad is near death." And before he could board the plane, his mother called again and said, he's vanished. I don't know where he is. They found him in a rehab center where he had checked himself in because he wanted to be sober before listening to his son and speaking about spiritual things. And his son came. And sober of mind, they both shared with one another. The son honored his father, showed love toward his father, shared with him the love and grace he had received from Jesus, and his father was led to Christ by his son. And their relationship that was now healed continued for a few months before his father passed away. But he said, I know I'll see him again. I'll be united with my dad. Heavenly Father, we are called to obey our parents, to honor our mother and our father. Words that make sense because they are words of truth from your word, from the Bible. And I pray that all of us would honor our mother and our father. Thank you for mothers and fathers who take their children to church, who lead them to study about Jesus and about you, our Creator. Father, now during this time of decision, I pray that you would move. If there's one that needs to confess Jesus as Lord, be buried in a watery grave of baptism, raised into new life, I pray that you give them the courage to step out. If there's one here that needs to recommit their life, they've run away from you and they want to come back and repent publicly and recommit their life to you, give them the courage to step out. Or if there's anyone that wants to bring their membership here or has a need in their life that they want to call for special prayer, I pray that they would come forward during this time, that you would work through your Holy Spirit during our time of decision. You are our God. You are our Heavenly Father. You are a good, good Father. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have a decision to make. Why don't you come as we stand and sing? Remember in prayer this week, Luke, 12-year-old with terminal brain cancer, friend of the Nickens, so keep that name, Luke, in prayer this week. David Foster's brother's wife, Vicky, is in ICU, and they're having to make some end-of-life decisions. So be in prayer for Vicky Foster and the family. We want to extend sympathy to the Daniel Mayo family, a 19-year-old who passed away from leukemia, friends of the Updikes. A couple surgeries this coming week, Valerie Martin and Janet Heath will be having surgeries. Keep them in prayer. Arnie and Karen Robinson transferred their membership here in the early service. So you may not know they usually come to the early service, Arnie and Karen Robinson, but you may come across them at some point around here. We had a couple of babies born this past week. Emma Lynn Johnson was born to Greg and Sarah Johnson, 7 pounds, 20 ounces. And Ron and Lynn LeCarpentier have a new great grandbaby. Oliver Rock, born to Sarah Martin. Ann LeCarpentier is the grandmother. And there's the information there. Well, have a great week. Honor your parents this week. Kids, obey your parents this week, because the Bible says it is right. So, pray for us, Keith.